But there's a lot of them out there. There's a lot of them out there. Let me look around the tent here for a minute. Let me see. Yeah, I thought so. Drove him off. Praise God. Sometimes you got to just preach them out. Sometimes you got to preach them out. The enemy will come in and he'll sit back there and just drag you down. And you got to preach them out. That's why sometimes our meetings go so long. First hour or two is just preaching the devils out. He preaches, you know, who can last the longest? I can. And Jesus can. And with Jesus in you, you can too. Praise God. But those devils, they just get enough of it and they leave. They leave. See, look, church, my God, listen. It's persistent. It's the fervent prayer. Fervent, persistent, meaningful, I ain't quitting prayer of the righteous person that availeth anything. And it's just a couple or three or four or one. And when I leave this town, I'm going to be going to another town and another town and another town. But you're going to be here to carry on the battle. And if you love Jesus, you got to be willing to take that banner up. You got to be willing to take that banner up. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how old you are. That's one of the best little warriors I've seen in a long time. That little woman right there saved my life. And she'll get mad at me. And she'll tell my wife. And my wife will come tell me. That little woman right there saved my life. Her praying for me. If God hadn't given her to me, I wouldn't be here right now. I would not be standing here right this minute. Wouldn't be. Wouldn't have happened. But because God gave her to me, He opened my eyes to some things that I needed to see. And that's the way it works. We work ministering to one another. Ministers need ministering too. Preachers need ministering too. They need prayer. They need support. They need a kick once in a while. You said that a little bit too hardly, Brother Bill. Praise the Lord. Well, he's right. Amen. Ministers need it. We need it. We need it. And thank God he has his people that'll do it. You know, when she first met me, she got mad at me. Ooh, she got mad at me. Look at her turn red. They said she was mad at me before. She got mad at me because I said some things about the Roman Catholic Church she didn't like. Called the Pope poop. She was a Roman Catholic. Am I right? She was a Roman Catholic. Thought she had it all. I called the Pope poop. She just couldn't believe God would have a man of God say anything like that. So she asked my wife if she could talk to me, and my wife brought her around to my camper. And I swear, she doesn't remember this, but I know it happened. She says to me, "I don't want you to get angry with me, but I'm mad at you." We love the Lord, praise Him. I thought to myself, I said, well, that's fair. And I said, well, that's all right. You go ahead. You go ahead. If you want to be angry with me, that's okay. I love you anyway. Hey, Fred, praise God. I said, you want to be angry with me? You go right ahead. She said, well, you just really upset me with some of the things you said today. I said, well, good. Praise the Lord. Did you learn anything? Well, I just can't believe God would have you say some of the things you said. I said, oh, like what? She said, well, that thing you said about the Pope. I said, you mean the poop? She said, yes. And I said, well, what would you say if I told you God did even greater things, like talked about piss? Oh, no. So I gave her a bunch of scriptures. I said, go home, read these things about the young men pisses against the wall. And talked about ox dung. I said, you know what ox dung is? That's Elizabethan for bull. Somebody got it? Okay. All right. So she went and read about these things. She came back and she said, okay, you're right. But I'm still mad at you. And I said, okay. So we went through another meeting. And then the Lord began to deal with her. And God began to heal her. We had to carry her out here. How many days was it before you were walking around the tent with me? Was that the second day or third day? Okay, Tuesday was the first time you came. Saturday, you were walking around the tent with me. Praise God. And then after that, you were running around the tent inside. We had to tell you to sit down. Amen. This year, she's been out all over the place, spreading the salt. Spreading the salt. Taking the territory for King Jesus. Faith. Whatever you do, do it in faith. To be a warrior, do it in faith. So you're a little prophetess, aren't you? How come every night you look different? Look different every night. You ever prophesied before? You never did. Huh? Scary, isn't it? Huh? You say, oh, I won't know how to do it. Right? Scared. You won't know how to do it. You know, prophesying can be scary. But you'll always know how to do it. It'll just hit you. It'll just come. It'll just come. Because you see, Jesus is the one who gives it. I cannot just stand up here and prophesy at the drop of a hat. Can't do it. The Lord has shown me that He moves the prophet to speak. But the prophet has to be obedient to speak. He won't make us speak. We just have to be obedient to speak. And you'll know when it happens. You'll know. Because you'll feel His presence. And what's beautiful about it, it's like a little meter right here. And when you're saying the words exactly as you want, it's straight up and down. But if you get off to the left or to the right, it moves side to side. All you got to do is just stand back where it belongs. I'm telling you this so that you'll know. And you'll understand. See? Do not misunderstand prophesying with foretelling. They're two different things. Brother Steve, big shot attorney, like I said, I was picking on him earlier. One of the things that used to bug him so much, is I'd say, Steve, you need to do so and so, such and such, and such and such will happen. And he'd say, that's the craziest thing I ever heard of. Wouldn't you? Huh? Everything, all the circumstances, everything would say, he's crazy. He's crazy. But he'd go and do what I said, and then stand back and watch God change the circumstances and move until exactly what I said would happen would come to pass. You see? Faith. And is that something just for me? No. God has it for all of you. It's for all of you. The day of the Musical ministry is over. The day of the Joshua ministry has come. Moses was in the desert, Mr. Big Shot, trying to deal with a bunch of rebellious brats. God killed them off. Joshua came through with the believers and conquered the land. For the last, I don't know how many years, for as long as I know, the evangelists have been of a Ezekiel-type ministry. People came to the tent revivals. People came to the big churches and the big centers to see the show. They didn't come to hear the word. They come to see the show. You'll notice in my meetings, you get a lot of teaching. You get a lot of teaching. You get it fast. Because that's what God wants. He wants you to have the word. You know what? You don't even have to remember it when you walk out of here. You don't even have to remember it. It doesn't matter. You hear it. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. You'll go home and you'll say, what did that preacher say? Man, he must have talked forever, and I can't remember two things. It's all right. Because then when you need it, God will bring it to remembrance. When you need it, God brings it to remembrance. God puts it in, and God can bring it out. God can put it in, and God can bring it out. God can give it to you, and God can make you use it. It's as simple as that. This is equipping. This is outfitting. And this is real revival. Because the revival is to raise up the ministers that are going to carry forth the other revival, which is part of this. I'm not interested in preaching to 10,000 or 100,000. Not interested in it. God knows it would be bad for me. But let me preach to those who are hungry to hear the word, those that are want more of Jesus. Those that when they get in the prayer closet and say, Lord Jesus, I need help, and he'll come and say, yes, what do you need? I'm tired of Christians praying to a brass roof. I'm tired of hearing about sisters and brothers in the Lord who pray and pray, and it's just like a brass ceiling over top of them. Brass ceiling. And the prayers just echo back in their ears, and they feel like God doesn't hear them. I felt that way. Anybody else? I felt that way. But when I pray, I want that fellowship Jesus promised. I want that fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I want fellowship because fellowship is a two-way communication. It's you speak and God speaks back. It's God speaks and you speak back. It's a conversation between the two of you. That's fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Anybody tells you you can't have that, then they're a liar. God gave it back to me what I was going to say earlier. Thank you, Lord. We're talking about those people that came back and said that you had to have safety by a multitude of counselors. You remember that? Let me tell you who your counselor should be. Abraham. Jacob. Isaac, Moses, David, Isaiah, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Those are your counselors. You can't find better counselors when it comes to God's word than those. You can't find better. They're better counselors than I am. They're better counselors than this guy down here or that guy over there. There's no one in this roof, in this tent, that's a better counselor when it comes to God's word than the secretaries that God used to put it down. That's the counselors you trust. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Trust in the counselors God used. Trust in the ones they used. Their ministry was proven. Their ministry was proven. You've come out here, you've seen a couple people healed. Praise God. You've seen a couple words of knowledge. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody might say, well, the preacher got lucky. Amen. Hang around a few days. Hang around. You're going to see, if these people out here get it together, we get it together, we're going to see God's power. We're going to see God's power in a way that has never been manifested to them before. Never. Because the Lord promised me, if we will be faithful in a few little things, that He'll make a move through this tent and just move on everybody in it. Amen. Just move on everyone. Amen. Just move like a wave. What's today? Tuesday? Tuesday. We got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's Friday's our last night. So we've got 1, 2, 3 nights left to totally break the hold of Satan over Morrisville. I think we can do it.
Amen.
I believe we can do it.
Amen.
In faith, I claim it.
Amen.
In faith, I claim it. In faith, will you claim it with me?
Amen.
See, I'm not asking you to be a member of my church or anything like that. I'm just asking you to believe Jesus. Isn't that nice? Huh? Just believe Jesus. Just believe Jesus. So let's work together to believe Jesus. Take that power that He's got. Take that anointing He's got. He'll hand it to you. He'll give it to you. And walk in it. And then watch what God does out here. You just watch it. George, you've known me for a couple years now, haven't you? Have I ever told you a thing that hasn't come to pass? Scary, isn't it? See, somebody says, preacher, you're prideful. No, I'm not prideful. I'm just telling the truth. Ricky Baldwin, how long have you known me? 8 years. Have I ever told you a thing and it did not come to pass? Amen. Robin, stand up. Little Robin back there in the back. How many years have I known you? Have I ever told you a thing and it did not come to pass? Amen. Luck? Jesus.
Amen.
He is the keeper of my soul. He is the keeper of my salvation. He is the keeper of my heart. He is the keeper of my steps. He is the maker of my path. He is the light that shines my way. He is the truth that lights my heart. He is the gospel that saved my soul. He is the redeemer. He is the deliverer. And He is my Lord. And He can do it for you. There's not one person in this tent now that He can't do it for. Not one. Not one. Bless the Lord.